Welcome to Mechanical Dreams, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest and most exciting papers in machine learning and natural language processing. I'm your host, Linda, and as always, I'm joined by my mentor and favorite skeptic, Professor Norris.
Hello, everyone, and thank you, Linda, but I must correct you. I prefer the term cautiously empirical rather than skeptical, but I am always ready to be convinced by good data. What radical new architecture or scaling law are we dissecting today?
Today, we are looking at a paper that tackles a fundamental problem in deep learning that we all kind of know exists, but often gloss over. It is called Value Residual Learning by Zhao and colleagues from Zhejiang University, Westlake University, and several others. It gets right to the heart of what happens to information as it flows through incredibly deep transformer models.
Ah, information flow in deep networks. That brings us back to the classic vanishing gradient problem, though I was under the impression that ResNets and the standard hidden state residual connection supposedly fixed that years ago. I assume this paper argues that the standard hidden state residual is not quite enough to do the job as models scale up to dozens or hundreds of layers.
Exactly. The authors focus on a critical challenge called oversmoothing. We know that in a standard decoder-only transformer, the initial token embeddings contain highly localized, specific information. But as these tokens pass through successive attention layers, that information rapidly evolves into abstract semantic features.
Right, which is generally what we want the network to do, is it not? We want the model to understand the broader context of the sentence, not just process individual words in a vacuum.
We do, but there's a massive catch. As the network deepens, the smoothing effect of the attention mechanisms causes token representations to become increasingly similar to one another. That is the over-smoothing problem. By the time you reach the deeper layers, sequence-level features dominate so heavily that the distinct token-level features are severely diluted.
I recall some research on vision transformers showing that self-attention inherently acts as a low-pass filter. It strips out the high-frequency local details and keeps the low-frequency global trends. So the language model effectively loses track of the original specific tokens because everything has been blended together into a semantic soup. But wait, does not the standard hidden state residual connection ensure that the initial information is propagated all the way through the network? You're continuously adding the input of the layer to its output.
You would think so, and that has been the prevailing assumption. But recent studies, which this paper builds upon, have identified that because the similarity between the initial token embeddings and the deeper hidden states is so low, simply summing them up via standard residuals is deeply inefficient. In fact, directly summing that raw token data into deep layers can actually disrupt the modeling of the attention distribution for abstract semantic information.
Interesting. So if you just naively add the raw token embedding to a very deep, highly abstract hidden state, you're essentially mixing oil and water. The two representations live in completely different spaces. You might actually be harming the model's ability to process those abstract semantics in later layers rather than helping it remember the token.
Precisely. The original tokens get lost in the noise of the deep layers. Other architectures like DenseFormer tried to fix this by applying learnable dense connections from all previous layers. And what's fascinating is that their learned coefficients actually proved that deeper layers desperately need more attention on those initial embeddings to perform well.
That is a fantastic premise for a paper. We build these massive models assuming the residual stream is a perfect lossless highway for information, but in reality, it's more like a game of telephone where the original crisp word gets blurred into a vague concept. We need a better way to route that initial localized information directly to the deep layers without wrecking the sophisticated semantic matrices those layers have built.
Exactly. And to fix this game of telephone, the authors introduce a really elegant architectural tweak called ResFormer. Instead of trying to force the information through the standard hidden state residuals, they target the value vectors inside the attention mechanism directly.
Well, you have certainly piqued my cautiously empirical interest. I'm very curious to see how tinkering with the value vectors specifically manages to bypass the over-smoothing trap without causing other issues. Let's dig into how this ResFormer actually works.
So, let us get into the mechanics of how ResFormer actually rescues that token data. Before the attention operation happens in any given layer, ResFormer introduces a direct skip connection from the first layer's value vectors to the current layer's value vectors.
Just the value vectors? The standard attention mechanism is built on queries, keys, and values. Why single out the values? Why not pipe the first layer's queries and keys forward to the deep layers as well?
The authors actually tested exactly that in their ablation studies. They experimented with adding residuals to queries, keys, and even the post-softmax attention matrix. It turns out only the value residual connection improves performance. If you apply residuals to queries or keys, you actually degrade the model.
Let me think about why that would be. The queries and keys act as the routing mechanism for the layer. They compute the attention weights by determining how much each token should attend to the others based on their current, highly abstract context. If you inject raw, untrained token data into the queries and keys of layer 20, you would completely scramble its ability to find those sophisticated semantic matches.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. The deep layers need to use their advanced semantic routing, but the actual payload being retrieved is stored in the value vectors. By modifying only the value vectors, ResFormer lets the attention mechanism do its complex abstract matching, but sneaks the crisp original token data into the payload that gets pulled forward.
That is an exceptionally clean architectural distinction. You preserve the advanced routing while upgrading the payload. So mathematically, how are they combining the current layer's value with the first layer's value? Is it just a straight addition?
It's a weighted sum. The current layer's value state becomes a combination of the first layer's value, which we can call V1, and the current layer's standard value projection. They balance these two inputs using flexible scalars, denoted as lambda.
I always appreciate a good lambda parameter. Are these lambdas predetermined, hard-coded constants, or is the network allowed to learn them dynamically during training?
They propose several variants to test this. There's constant ResFormer, where lambda is a fixed number across all layers, and identity ResFormer, which uses a specific 50-50 split. But the really powerful variant is learnable ResFormer, where those lambda scalars are fully trainable parameters.
Oh, that's the one I'm most interested in. If the network can learn the weights, does it actually learn to rely more heavily on V1 in the deeper layers, just like the over-smoothing theory suggests?
Yes, it does. When visualizing the learned lambda values, the paper shows that the later layers tend to require more value residual connections from V1. The model explicitly learns that its own deep representations are getting too blurry, so it turns up the lambda dial to pull in more of that raw, unadulterated V1 signal.
That is beautiful empirical validation for the over-smoothing hypothesis. The network is admitting that it needs a lifeline to the original input. But I have to ask about the source of this lifeline. The authors specifically use V1. Did they run an ablation to see what happens if you use V2 or V3 instead? Why must it be the absolute first layer?
They absolutely did, in a section titled Where From, Where To. They tested injecting skip connections from various early layers into the deep layers. The findings were stark. Only skip connections originating from V1 yielded significant improvements. Connecting from V2 offered almost no benefit to subsequent layers.
That makes perfect sense if you think about it. By the time you reach V2, the information has already passed through the first attention layer. The tokens have already started mixing with each other. The semantic soup has started to boil. V1 is the only true state holding truly pure, unfused, localized information because it's derived straight from the initial embeddings.
Right, it's the only true anchor to the original text. They even tried a sparse ResFormer variant where this V1 residual is only applied selectively to a few specific deep layers rather than every single layer. And interestingly, applying it only to the final few layers gave some of the most significant improvements out of the sparse configurations.
so it's a highly targeted intervention. Instead of fundamentally rewriting the transformer block, they surgically graft a memory pipeline exactly where the model is most prone to forgetting. It's an elegant fix. But naturally, my inner skeptic is wondering what this extra pipeline does to the computational overhead. Adding connections and tracking all these lambdas must have some impact on training efficiency and parameter count.
You're setting me up perfectly for the next part of the paper, because the efficiency metrics they achieve are arguably the most exciting part of this entire study, and they might just put your skepticism to rest for good.
So, to pick up where we left off, you were wondering if routing these value residuals comes with a computational penalty. The answer is a resounding no. In fact, it is the exact opposite. The efficiency metrics are the most compelling part of this paper.
I am listening. More efficient is a dangerous promise in deep learning. How exactly are we measuring efficiency here? Are we talking about inference speed, training time, or parameter counts?
All of the above, but specifically parameter count and data efficiency. The authors show that ResFormer can achieve the exact same validation loss as a standard vanilla transformer, but with 16.11% fewer model parameters, and it requires 20.3% less training data to get there.
Wait, let me process that. 16% fewer parameters to reach parity? So we're not taking a standard model and making it bigger by adding these residual connections. We're actually able to train a significantly smaller model from scratch and still match the performance of a much larger vanilla architecture.
Exactly. You get a leaner model that learns faster, and it doesn't just beat the vanilla transformer, it also outperforms other modified architectures like DenseFormer and Neutrino on downstream zero-shot reasoning tasks like Heliswag and Wino Grande.
That is undeniably impressive. However, my cautiously empirical instincts are flaring up. Whenever I see a model with skip connections training faster, I have to ask, is it truly learning better representations, or is it just faster because the skip connection provides a shorter path for the gradients to flow during backpropagation? Sometimes a model just reaches its natural ceiling quicker without actually raising the ceiling.
The authors anticipated that exact question. They dedicated an entire section titled Truly Better or Just Faster. To prove it is not just a gradient magnitude trick, they tested the models across 5 different learning rate settings, even when they optimized the learning rate to give the vanilla transformer its absolute best chance. ResFormer still significantly outperformed it across the board.
Excellent. I love to see rigorous ablation on the hyperparameters. Did they do any structural analysis on the hidden states to see what the ResFormer is actually learning differently?
They did, and it ties back perfectly to the over-smoothing problem we discussed in the first chapter. They performed principal component analysis, or PCA, on the hidden states of each layer. They found that ResFormer consistently produces hidden states that require a higher minimum number of principal components to explain 99% of the variance.
Oh, that is a beautiful finding. Let me unpack that for the audience. If you need more principal components to explain the variance, it means the hidden state contains more diverse, high-density information. The features haven't collapsed into a low-dimensional semantic soup. The V1 residual is literally keeping the mathematical representation richer and more complex.
Exactly. It acts as an antidote to the low-pass filter effect of self-attention. But there's another incredible structural benefit they discovered, and it has to do with where the model actually focuses its attention. You're familiar with the attention sink problem, right?
Of course. It's that bizarre phenomenon where deep language models allocate a massive, disproportionate amount of attention to the very first token in a sequence, like the start token, even though it contains almost no actual semantic meaning.
Right. The authors point out that in vanilla transformers, attention clustering often happens because of what they call value state drains. But because ResFormer introduces the first layer's value directly to the deep layers, it disrupts the mutual reinforcement mechanism that causes those drains.
So because the model always has access to the crisp original token values, it doesn't panic and dump all its attention onto the start token as a fallback. It actually uses its attention mechanism the way it's supposed to.
Yes, they visualized the attention weights across the sequence, and ResFormer exhibits a much more uniform distribution of token importance. It mitigates the attention sinks almost entirely. It just fundamentally behaves like a healthier, more balanced network.
I am thoroughly convinced. It solves a theoretical flaw, proves it empirically through PCA and learning rate ablations, and delivers a 16% reduction in parameters. That alone would make this a stellar paper. But I know there's one more trick up their sleeve. In our outline, you mentioned something about memory efficiency and a variant called SVFormer. How does that fit into the picture?
It fits in perfectly because SVFormer takes this idea of relying on the first layer's value and pushes it to its absolute logical extreme to solve one of the biggest bottlenecks in modern AI deployment, the KV cache. And that's exactly what we'll dive into next.
To understand the sheer utility of SVFormer, we first need to talk about the bane of every machine learning deployment engineer's existence right now, the KV cache.
Ah, the KV cache, the hidden tax of generative AI. For our listeners who might be newer to the deployment side of things, when a transformer generates text token by token, it has to store the key and value vectors for all previous tokens in every single layer to avoid recomputing them. It is a massive memory hog.
Exactly. And as we push for models that can process entire books, legal documents, or code bases, sequence lengths are exploding. At a 64K or 128K context window, the dynamic memory required for the KV cache can easily exceed the size of the model weights themselves.
So how does the SVFormer, or Shared Value Former, solve this? Based on the name and what we just discussed about ResFormer relying heavily on the first layer's values, I have a very strong suspicion where this is going.
Your suspicion is right on the money. If ResFormer proved that the deep layers desperately want access to the first layer's value vectors to combat oversmoothing, SVFormer asks a radical question. What if we just give them V1 and nothing else?
Wait, nothing else? As in layers 2 through 24 do not even compute their own value vectors?
Precisely. The first layer computes the standard queries, keys, and values, but for every subsequent layer, the model only computes new queries and keys. It uses those to calculate the layer-specific attention matrix, but then it applies that complex semantic routing directly to V1.
That is incredibly audacious. You are completely decoupling the value payload from the attention routing in the deeper layers. But the implications for the KV cache are absolutely huge. If you only have one set of value vectors for the entire network, you literally cut the value storage requirement to zero for the rest of the model. That is nearly a 50% reduction in the total KV cache footprint.
It is a massive reduction, but of course you can't just rip out all the layer-specific value projections without some sort of trade-off. To achieve the exact same validation loss as a standard vanilla transformer, the authors found that SVFormer requires a 12.2% increase in model parameters.
Honestly, that's a trade-off most infrastructure teams would take in a heartbeat. During inference, especially for long context tasks, memory bandwidth is a much tighter bottleneck than raw compute. Adding 12% more parameters to save 50% of your dynamic inference memory is a phenomenal bargain.
And it gets even more interesting when you look at how it scales with sequence length. The authors found that SVFormer's performance relative to the baseline actually improves as the sequence gets longer. When they pushed the training sequence length up to 64,000 tokens, SVFormer demonstrated lower final loss compared to other existing KV-efficient methods like cross-layer attention.
That is fascinating. Why would it perform relatively better on longer sequences? They argue it comes down to optimization dynamics. As the sequence length grows, fully optimizing that increasingly large first layer value matrix becomes very difficult for standard deep models. Because SVFormer forces every single layer to rely entirely on V1, it essentially aggregates a massive unified gradient signal from the entire network straight back to the first layer, optimizing those initial token values much more effectively for long contexts.
so it acts as an immense regulatory force, keeping those original embeddings incredibly sharp. But since you mention it outperforms other KV cache reduction methods, I have to ask, does it have to compete with them, or can it collaborate? For example, grouped query attention, or GQA, is the current industry standard for shrinking the keys in value heads.
They can absolutely collaborate. SVFormer is completely orthogonal to GQA. You can apply grouped query attention to shrink the keys across all layers and use SVFormer to share a single set of values across all layers. The authors tested this combination and created a model with nearly 1/8 the original KV cache size while still maintaining highly competitive performance.
That is spectacular. We've gone from a theoretical discussion about semantic soup and oversmoothing in our first chapter to a highly practical architecture that fundamentally changes the math on deploying long context language models.
I have to admit, Linda, my cautious empiricism is fully satisfied today. They identified a core theoretical issue with oversmoothing, proved it rigorously, and gave us two highly practical architectures. ResFormer gives us a leaner model, and SVFormer directly attacks the KV cache bottleneck for long context generation.
Exactly. And before we completely wrap up, I should mention they do note a few limitations in the paper. For instance, the learnable ResFormer still struggles slightly to find the absolute optimal lambda settings dynamically during training, sometimes converging on a relative optimum. Plus, due to computational constraints, they have not tested this on massive trillion parameter models just yet.
A perfectly reasonable caveat. Tuning the initialization strategies for those learnable parameters will likely be the next frontier for this research. But given the very strong foundation they have built, I fully expect to see these value residual techniques integrated into the next generation of large open source models.
I completely agree. I think the overarching takeaway for the machine learning community is how much we still have to discover about the internal routing of transformers. By simply recognizing that deep layers were starving for original token values, the authors unlocked massive infrastructure savings without sacrificing performance.
It is a wonderful reminder that simply scaling up compute is not the only path forward. Sometimes a clever architectural tweak that respects the fundamental flow of information is all you need. I will absolutely be assigning this paper to my graduate students on Monday.
They are going to love the ablation studies. That is all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you to everyone for tuning in to Mechanical Dreams and for exploring the intricacies of language models with us.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you, Linda, for bringing yet another paradigm-shifting paper to my desk. Keep questioning your default architectures, everyone.
Until next week, keep dreaming in code. Goodbye.